our Shiloh of the Week slot last night, so we'll make up for it this evening. Someone came to me right after davening Friday night with a great Shiloh. He was a little anxious about it, but it's very interesting because it allows us to analyze a few points in Hilchos Shabbos all together as one. He said, "Rabbi, I pulled up right before Shabbos, and my car keys are in my pocket right now." So I don't know what he was expecting me to tell him, but stand on his head. So this is what I told him. It worked out just fine. Don't worry, you don't have to do any acrobatics. The question really stems from the following. So obviously a car key, especially a fob, you know, nowadays the remote that you use, they don't even have, something that goes inside necessarily. It's all hands-free. So that we would call muktzah. It's like a hammer. A hammer is a classic example of what we call a kli shemalachto l'isser. The primary function of the hammer is to knock in nails, and that's a malach bona. And it's true, there are exceptions to what you can do with that hammer. You can, if you need to crack your walnuts, you can use a hammer to do so. Not our topic right now, but primarily the car keys, the hammer, kli shemalach to l'isser. That's step one. Step two, though, is to understand that there's another principle, another layer of muktzah called basis l'davar ha'aser. Basis literally means a base in Israel, the IAF, what's it, something like that, the Israeli baseball, no, not AF, what do they call it? IBO, okay, the Israeli, Kadur Basis, okay? But literally, it means the base, meaning something that's supporting or servicing the item that's muktzah. So let's get back to our hammer. A hammer is a klisha malachto l'isser, it's muktzah. The toolbox that the hammer or the screwdriver sit in is a basis, the box itself, there's nothing muktzah about the box, but the fact that it houses and stores and protects the hammer, that's what we call klisha basis l'davar ha'aser. And therefore, if the hammer is in the box, the toolbox, before Shabbos, when Shabbos begins, so the whole toolbox becomes muktzah, and even if someone would come along and knock over the toolbox and spill out all the tools, the box is still muktzah because of its previous function. However, there's a major exception to the rule of basis, and that's what happens when it's a basis l'davar ha'aser u'l'davar mutter. Classic example would be if you have a drawer, okay? You open up the drawer, and you keep your cell phone there over Shabbos, but you also keep your socks. If you keep your cell phone in your sock drawer on Shabbos, your drawer serves the function of, again, supporting or protecting the cell phone, but it also does the same for the socks. So therefore, such an item, such a box, such a drawer would be permissible to open and close because primarily I'm using it for the socks. The fact that there's something else in there is not a problem. Many people, this goes back to a long time before I've ever seen it, but many people put, if you have a tray where your Shabbos candles go on, they'll put the challahs on before Shabbos. Anyone's mother do that or grandma? Yeah, okay. Why? Because by doing so, the tray is servicing not only the candles, but the challahs as well. So if there's a need at a later point to move the tray doesn't have a singular status as being a basis l'davar ha'aser, because when Shabbos began, it was also holding something else, such as the challahs, and both of them obviously belong on the Shabbos table. So it's a legitimate trick. Not really a trick. That's the way it works. So the first question I asked the guy was, is there anything else on the key ring? Because if he has a keychain with his car keys and his house keys, then no problem. That's a basis l'davar ha'aser u'l'davar mutter. Nothing's muktzah, just don't touch the car keys. But you bring the keys home. If you want to remove the house keys so you can use them over Shabbos, great. But there would not be a muktzah problem. Of course, he answered me, no. The only thing that that I have on the ring is the car keys. Okay, so now let's think. Based on everything we've described, my pants, where the keys are sitting, are basis l'davar ha'aser. Okay. However, not done yet. Okay. I do bar mitzvahs and weddings and The way that our pants pockets are constructed, it's a separate pouch. The pouch is sewn into the pants, but it's not actually part of the pants. In the words of the poskim, the pouch is tufel to the pants, which are ikar. So when I'm walking around, in a sense, I'm carrying my pants, but even though the keys in the pocket are coming along, that's considered tufel. So my real carrying the pants, not what's in the pocket. So I told him, halacha l'maaseh, I told him, go home, go to your room, take off your pants, shake them out, because there's no need to touch the keys if you don't have to. They'll come out pretty easily, but your pants are not a basis l'davar ha'aser. What if the person had the keys in their shirt pocket? Shirt pocket is constructed differently. shirt pocket, 50% of it is a piece of fabric that's sewn onto the shirt, which is the other 50% of your pocket, right? So maybe we would have a concern in that case that the shirt is a bustles davar aser. Okay? That's going to take more than acrobatics. That's going to be, luckily, if that ever happens to you, if you have something muksa in your shirt pocket from before Shabbos begins, the rule is everything I told you about a bussis only applies if someone intentionally left the item on top of it or in it for the course of Shabbos. When you put away your tools before Shabbos, you put the hammers, the screwdrivers in the toolbox, that's where you store it over Shabbos. But if I put it in a place, and obviously the guy didn't want to leave it there over Shabbos, or if we got it there over Shabbos, and then Shabbos began, and he's in shul, and he realized I still have my car keys in the pocket, so that does not cause the pants or whatever's holding the davar ha'aser, the mukta, to become mukta as well. One final point along these lines, if someone plays a practical joke and sticks some car keys in your pants, and says, Hinni muchana mezumen l'shem kutcha yuga, to leave it here the whole Shabbos, okay? It's a new way to get back at people when they're not paying attention. That also does not work. That will not make your pants usher. Why? Because we have a rule, Ein Adam Oser Dover She'enu Shalom. Ein Adam Oser Dover She'enu Shalom. The classic example of Mishnah and Klayim, if I see someone has a beautiful vineyard, and I want to get back at him, so I'm just going to very quietly, when no one's looking, plant some other species near his vineyards, and now the whole thing becomes usher. So ein adam usher davar she'enu shelo. You don't have a right to prohibit something that doesn't belong to you. And the same thing would be true about muktzah. Now, it doesn't mean you should go around pouring milk into people's cholent, so then it'll be very creamy and delicious. Certain things you can. If you think about the prohibition of usher b'chalav, milk and meat together, that's just a reality of the two mixing with each other. The prohibition of mixing species has a lot more to do with the person's intention and ownership, so we'll leave that on the side. But as far as muktzah is concerned, ein adam oser davar she'enu shelo, you don't have the prerogative to prohibit someone else's item and turn it into muktzah.